All right, let's pray as we start the service. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and again, we're so thankful that we can worship you, that we can sing your praises, that we can learn about you. Lord, I pray that all that we do be a blessing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, bear with me as we continue on. Please be patient as we work through this. Well, who's prayed for patience? Never. I tell you what, pray for patience, or better yet, teach about patience. The Lord gives us so many opportunities to be patient, whether it be through situations, circumstances, or with people. Yes, people, those that we are told to love, no matter what. No matter what, we love the person. So as I was studying through patience today, and in my hurry up to finish up my sermon on patience, I wanted to share with you a wonderful article that I found this morning from the Babylon Bee. For those of you that don't know, it is satire, and it's used, and what their motto was is, something about Christians making fun of each other because we can, kind of thing. So I hope you get a good laugh out of this. It says, title is, Amazon introduces agonizingly slow shipping option to help you build spiritual virtue of patience. It says, Seattle, Washington. In a move to help Christians develop the fruit of the Spirit, specifically patience, Amazon announced Wednesday that a new agonizingly slow shipping option. The order will sit idle in Amazon's system 6 to 8 weeks before being shipped, but USPS slowest possible option. Quote, our Christian customers can now pick between one-day shipping, two-day shipping, and agonizingly slow shipping to help them grow in their area of patience. Amazon spokesperson Janice Walrod said, if you've been praying the Lord to sanctify you and help you grow more gentle and long-suffering, just check the box on your next order of stuff and you'll feel like you'll need to have this instant. Whenever shoppers have chosen the brutally but slow shipping feature, check on their status of their package, they'll reportedly be shown the screen that states Amazon hasn't even begun to think about processing the order. Along with the scripture in Luke 21:19, in your patience process ye your souls. Oh boy, patience. Something that we get to work on as we look through the fruit of the Spirit, and that's going to help us develop. So we'll be in Galatians again, 5:22-24. And I hope you have this memorized. I really do. This is a good one to memorize. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Who noticed what I left out? Patience. Yes, patience is in there. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. All right. So we're moving right along in our text. Boy, we're getting down four, aren't we? I thought it was going to be a four-week series. That's what I get for thinking. I thought I could do love and joy in one sitting. No. No, football games don't even go that long sometimes. We're on patience. Patience is an attitude that both Jesus and God the Father display for those in his creation, which set up the attitude that the believer needs to have. The believer needs to have a patient attitude. Patience and peace is related to love. As Paul says in Ephesians 1-3, he says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, in love, eager to maintain unity in the Spirit, of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, as we talked earlier, the fruit is singular. You can't pick and choose which one you're going to develop. It all should be developing Again, we have our responsibility to help cultivate it, and the Spirit will produce it through us. And in our Ephesians passage, he's saying, with patience, bear with one another. With patience, can I say, tolerate one another? My other paraphrase is to put up with one another, which can be a chore sometimes, even for the most kind-hearted person. In the Ephesians example, Paul talks about three of them being related. Again, all of them work together. They all work hand in hand. Now, according to the dictionary, the word patience means the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. And then I looked at the definition we find in the text we're studying today. It has a sense of patient endurance of pain or unhappiness. Now, both of these definitions, they work really well together. They're all kind of saying the same thing. Endure. Endure. So my question for us today, are we a patient society? Yes or no? No. No. We have a few of us that get upset when we're driving, whether that be in this town or in bigger cities, because sometimes I have the mindset I'm the only one that knows how to drive. And I know some other have that same mindset as well. How many of us don't want to accept delays that are unforeseen? Oh, yes. Things that happen outside of our control, things we're waiting on, something happens, and how many of us really like to accept that? Well, I'm glad I'm not alone. Not many of us. Do we get angry or upset at suffering? God, why am I going through this? God, why did you allow me to experience this? Where are you, God? Why aren't you here with me? Why can't I sense you? We question and then we get upset. We even sometimes get mad. Like, why am I going through this? I'm a good person. Why am I going through this? Or I've checked all the boxes on my Christian thing to do. Why am I experiencing this? We'll look into more of that later. See, most of us struggle with being patient. I think as the years go on, we're losing control of patience because of a cultural mindset that we have developed. The mindset of instant gratification. Now, we live in a culture where we question why it takes more than 2 days for a package to get from Florida to Winter, South Dakota. But it said 2 days on there. Why did it take 2.5? Why did it take 3 days? Why did it take 4 days? People get upset sometimes because the business promises overnight delivery or 2-day delivery. Who's ever done overnight to Winter, South Dakota and it still takes 3 days? Yeah, yeah. Just go with the 2-day. It's going to save you a lot of headache. Or just go with standard. You never know when you're going to get it. You see, and we also have the mindset sometimes that a problem needs to be over with right now. I remember back, this is weird to say, when television was okay to watch, when it was actually sitcoms on TV, to where in the beginning they would have a problem. And 30 minutes later, that problem was like, yes, it was solved. It was over with. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? 30 minutes and it's done and over with? We kind of have that mentality. We also have research at our fingertips. We've got, most have these. I know Jim showed me his phone. Yeah. One of those. Yes, yes. The flip phones, yes. We've got it. We've got instant research at our fingertips. Some of these phones are more powerful than a Windows 7 program. We can research most anything. Of course, it could be censored. I don't know. I'm not into the conspiracy theories, but, you know, things speak for itself. Well, so with research at our fingertips, who has a Bible app on their phone or on their tablet? Most, right? So it's good to have that instant research, because if I tell you to turn the book of Philemon in one of these, you're going to pass over it three or four times before you find it. On the Bible apps, they're really cool because you just click on the book, the chapter, and the verse, and you're there. Less getting lost. Less having to use this, what's this thing at the beginning of the book? Where it tells you all the books and the pages. Table of contents, yes. Those are almost obsolete anymore because of technology. It's faster. Now, nothing's wrong with having this stuff on your devices. They're good. They're good to have. It's nice to have, especially if you're not lugging around the 30-pound study Bible with you wherever you go in case somebody needs a word of encouragement. You have it right there. Now we have it on our phones. In my life, I use the Logos Bible software. Now, I use that a lot. It's a Bible program to where, of course, I got one. Somebody bought one, and they gave it to me later. It's like, yes, I get Logos. It's a whole bunch of books on one program, but you can buy more upgraded packages. I got the low-rate one, which is good for me. I don't use it a lot. I use it for mostly word studies. But everything is right there, or key studies. I actually prefer books. I love the old-fashioned books, the pages. You ever got a new book and did this and smelled it? Oh, it is so good. A new book smell. I love it. Maybe I'm weird. I don't know. But I love the new book smells. And I like to do the research my own. I like to dig through it and see what the author says around what I'm looking at to find out if there's anything else. And yet, I still can be mildly distracted when I do that, because I'll find the word I'm looking for and I look at the definition, and then I see, oh, this is the Greek word. Oh, here's the root of the Greek word without the endings on it. This is the same word as this word over here. So I keep looking at this word. So I get really distracted sometimes, even with that. But I still like the books. I like doing the research myself. When I do this, it helps me understand the passage more clearer, and I can teach it more confidently. Again, it requires time. It requires study. It requires working past distractions, looking past the squirrel as it runs by without paying attention to it. We're not very patient people sometimes. We tend to get impatient. Again, I remember my short life saving up cereal box codes to send off for a toy. And sometimes I require 3 to 6 of them. And normally I would cut one out and 10 minutes later I would lose it. But I remember once in my life I saved them. And I filled out the card. And it says, please allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. For a 10-year-old, that's eternity. But I waited. I waited. And it was a joy when it came in. When I started my associate's degree, who's heard of correspondence classes? Oh, yeah, it's where you mail in your request. You put it in that big blue box by that big building with brick and mortar. And they take it, and they deliver it somewhere. And it took me 4 weeks. I had to give them a 4-week notice when I wanted to take a test. It took 2 weeks to get a test in. It took 4 weeks to get the test results back. The Lord has allowed me to experience patience. I loved it when I got to online classes after that. It made my life easy. Less having to work on patience. Is that better? I don't know. We continue to learn. Now, since we need to do our part to show patience, let's see how did God show patience? How did he show it? First thing that comes to mind is Genesis 3, the fall of man. Okay, so God created this awesome paradise for these two people. He told them to not do one thing that's recorded. He says, don't eat of that one tree. Don't eat. You can work in the garden. Adam, you named the animals. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. Of course, not much time goes by. And they rebelled. They partook of the fruit and ate it. One thing God told them not to do. Broke his command. Could God have justly destroyed them? Yes. Yes. They broke the command. What did God do? God showed mercy. He showed grace. They sinned, and for a sin to be dealt with, to be covered, there has to be bloodshed. God took it upon himself to sacrifice an animal, and that animal's fur was used to cover Adam and Eve. He showed them grace. He was patient with them. He allowed them to live. He still guided them. I imagine he still talked with them. But he was patient with them. He gave them long life. He allowed them to procreate. However, there still was disciplinary actions that needed to be done. The Lord disciplines us, right? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He disciplines those he loves. He cursed the woman, the man, and the serpent. But yet he was still patient with them. Gave them long life. And gave them grace. Another example is when Israel again rebelled against God. In this instance, God just delivered them from Egypt. They were in Egypt. They were being persecuted. So God displayed his power with the 10 plagues, revealed himself God to everybody there, rescued Israel out of Egypt, guided them by fire and a cloud. He parted the Red Sea for them to go across. And once they were there in a certain location, they stopped for a bit, and God wanted a little chit-chat with Moses. So God called him up the mountain. He said, come up here, son. Let's talk about a few things. They stayed up there for quite some time, and then not long after he was up there, what did the people want to do? Worship a golden calf. They're like, hey, what happened? Did God leave? You know, let's make a God. A God that can't do anything. A God that we have to move from place to place. They made a God after seeing the true God rescue them out of Israel. And they used Aaron to help that process. See, God did all these great things for these people. And they fall into worshiping an idol. They rejected him. They rejected God. Yet God still kept them. God was still faithful. God still guided them. God guided them to the promised land. They rejected going in the first time. So God said, okay, you don't want to go in. Guess what? You're going on a little hike. I am going to mess up your GPS to where you're going to wander the desert for 40 years. God met their needs that whole time. He provided them an abundance of food. He provided them with water. He provided them with so much quail, they got sick of it. Their sandals didn't even wear out. He was still among them. He provided for their needs. However, there was still a disciplinary action. But God did that because He loves them. Our next example is 1 Timothy 1:15 through 16. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life. See, Paul wrote this letter to Timothy. Paul was explaining his past. Now, in Paul's past, he was an outstanding Pharisee. He was top of his class. He was the one the other Pharisees looked up to. He knew his stuff. He knew, he believed that the law leads to salvation. He believed that the Messiah was yet to come, because the Pharisees at the time had a false understanding of who Christ was. They didn't grasp the whole picture. So they were still waiting for the Messiah. Paul did everything he could to stop the spread of the gospel. Paul would go around arresting people. He would have them drug off to jail. He would have them executed. He wasn't a nice guy. He was going against Christ every step he took. He disrupted the churches, placing people under arrest just for following Christ. See, the strange thing is, Paul thought he was doing right. He had no idea what he was doing. He had no idea he was going against God. That's why he said in verse 13, "But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief." Paul wasn't trying to follow Christ at all. It's Christ that came and Christ that stopped him blind in his tracks. To stop him. Following that, he used him for the gospel message. He used him to reach the Gentile nation. In my human mind, I can't fathom how God would choose somebody like that. But it's God that changes hearts. It's God that changes lives. But He used this, as He calls Himself, the worst of sinners, to proclaim the gospel message, thus displaying His perfect patience and gave Him grace. And the last example we're going to look at is Christ's patience being displayed during the crucifixion. When we think about it, did Jesus want to take the cross? No. He prayed that cup be taken away from Him. He didn't want to do it. He knew what it entailed. He knew the pain. He knew what He was going to go through. He knew the humiliation. He could have called down angels to deliver Him. He could have gotten off the cross Himself. He could have just vanished from the Romans who came to arrest Him. He could have hidden. He didn't. He patiently, He endured the physical beatings. He endured being slapped in the face. He endured the nails. He endured it all. And what did He do while He was doing that? He prayed that they would be forgiven. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. This is patient. This is patience. As he endured all kinds of pain. Those that were against him, he prayed for. Now, we as believers need to learn to be patient with situations and people. Being patient with the non-believer. To me, that's a little easy. My job is to present the gospel message, to take time for them, to love them. It's not my job to change hearts. I can't change your hearts. You can't change mine. That's only God can change hearts. Our job is to present the gospel. And they're not... I can't judge them as I would judge a believer. They're going to do what they're going to do. And I pray that God changes their hearts, changes their actions. I can't do that. I can only be there for them. But when it comes to being patient with believers, you see, some believers mature in Christ faster than others. We have those mature believers, we have the immature believers, and then one of my favorites, the new believers in Christ. Those people are fun. They've got so much energy. It is great. They're on fire. Some things they say are a little weird. Some things they do are a little strange. But we're patient with them, right? Because they're learning. They're learning how to follow Christ. Let's look how to recognize an immature believer. So we know how to be patient. We're not going to use this as ammunition, okay? We're going to use this to help us grow. I have to say that sometimes when we cover certain things. An immature believer cannot help others. Think about an infant. Can an infant help anybody, really? They just consume, right? An infant will consume time, consume food, consume sleep, consume time, consume lack of sleep, consume food. They consume more than they help. A mature Christian both consumes the Word of God, the saving faith in Christ, and he takes that message and gives it, whether that be an encouragement or to correct. They're going to consume and then take out. An immature believer, all they can do is consume because they're not ready to give out. And if they do, I kind of take a step back and go, whoa, wait a second. How'd you come up with that conclusion? I've heard some interesting things. Next, an immature Christian creates division. You ever watch two toddlers fight? Oh, yeah. Sometimes you can sit back and eat popcorn and watch to figure out what they're fighting over. Usually, it's minor, meaningless issues. And that's what the immature believer does. They take things further than it needs to go. They take it to the extreme. Sometimes, the immature believer will get really dead set on their own mindset. Sometimes, they'll be inadvertently legalistic. They don't know it yet. They don't know that they're being legalistic. To the point of their legalism is stepping on the mature believer's toes. The mature believer has freedoms, right? We have freedom in Christ. We have the freedom to present the gospel to those around us. We have the freedom to live life as long as we're doing everything we do to glorify God. The mature believer, in biblical sense, is the one that can eat the meat. that has been sacrificed to idols because they do it with a clean conscience. The mature believer also recognizes that they might have to do this in the privacy of their own home because to offend the younger, immature Christian. See, the mature believer is the one who makes the first step. Who, if somebody wrongs somebody, what does a mature believer do? They step in and try to correct it peacefully. The mature believer is the one who knows their freedoms and sometimes restrains those freedoms in front of the weaker brethren. See, the immature Christian is loved by God. And is to be loved by the mature Christian as well. Just because sometimes people are a thorn in our side doesn't mean that we don't love them. We get to work harder at loving them. Now, I remember when I was an immature follower of Jesus. And I look back at that, I go, boy, I reflected on my life this week. Where have I come from? How far have I grown? You see, back in my earlier days, I would fight over the small things. I would be so hard-headed on certain things that you were wrong, I was right because I say I'm right. Over certain issues such as a big one is end times. I was so dead set that I was right on my view. Back then, I was, of course, pre-trib, rapture kind of guy. But I couldn't defend it. I said, well, that's what the scripture says. Well, where at? In the Bible. Because it said that. And I heard a sermon by Swindoll that said the same thing. So there, ha, I'm right. Anymore, I found other forms of ideas on that, on the how some will say that we're going to go through tribulation. Some will say that we're going to go halfway through tribulation. Some, I even met a pastor who said we're in the millennial reign right now. Yeah, it's... He had an argument. I wasn't going to discuss it with him. We were at camp, so I had to behave myself. There's just different things. And it was the weird things I'd take the biggest stands on. I don't know why it was, but here's the deal. Even though I was going through this, God still provided other guys to come alongside me, other guys to help show me, to help me grow in my Christian walk. And I imagine some of my mentors would go home late at night just banging their head against a door and say, "Why did you bring me Justin?" I could see that. But God still used them. They came alongside and helped me grow. We as Christians need to help others. We need to be patient with others. There's going to be silly fights. There's going to be silly fights. That's part of the growing process. So we as mature Christians need to love others and be patient with them, knowing that God is at work in them. I'm going to hit this really quick. I'm not going to go into detail. How can we develop patience? How can we develop it? First, understand that it will take hard work and constant care. Understand it's not going to be easy. It's not 2 days, not a half hour, you're going to develop it. Realize that you will not want to endure it. It will fight against you. It'll be a constant battle. Be ready for the fight. It's going to come. You'll need to make sure that you are constantly in God's word, prayer, fellowship, and guess what? With like-minded believers. Big important thing, like-minded believers. Get yourself a group of people. Join a Bible study. If you can't join a Bible study and you don't know of a Bible study, start a Bible study, invite your friends. Have at it, I'll help you. We'll get you stuff you need if you want to dig deeper. Next one, changing of our perspective. The next thing that needs to happen is while you're reading, praying, and serving, you need to constantly attempt to view the world from God's perception. So we need to get our heads in the cloud a little bit. That's weird to say. And look down and see how God sees things. What did God command us to do? What are the two commandments he gave us? What's that? Love God and love your neighbor. That's the perspective we have to have. And you're going to learn that as you read his word. You have to read his word. Sleeping on your Bible doesn't help. Or your Bible app. It doesn't help. While you're thinking through situations, it's important to reflect upon the attributes of God and his ways. Special attention should be given to the sovereignty of God. This attribute I find is the most helpful to think about when dealing with patience. Knowing that God's in control. Get that through our minds. Sometimes we have thick skulls. We like to be in control, but it's God in control. Moving on. Trusting of God and his plan. His plan. Once I have thought about these things, I trust God. I realize that he is sovereign and what is happening is part of his plan. If you're going through a hard time, guess what? God knows about it. God knows about it. You can't hide it. It's not a surprise to him. He's sovereign. Complaining against his plan is complaining against him. Say, therefore, I will trust you. I will trust you. And actually trust him. Don't just say it, but do it. Trust in his plan. Delight in God. Trust by itself is not enough. I can trust someone and not enjoy that person. However, I need to make sure that I am also delighting myself in God, that he is my passion. He is my delight. The idea here is learn to love him and grow in him. Talk about him. Number 5, surrender to God. It's very simple. Very simple. I surrender. I say, okay, God, you're in control. I trust you based off scripture. I learn to love him more and more. I will follow him. He will lead me down the path he wants me to go. It helps us with our mindset. It helps us to focus on him and what he wants. The last one. Oh boy. The waiting. The patient part too. The waiting. While we wait for the end of the ordeal or answer or the coming of the Lord, be in his word. Be talking with him. Be fellowshipping with one another. Serving. Being a witness. Waiting and enduring. Now, wait, don't just sit there and wait. Don't just sit down in your easy chair and wait. It is being mindful of who God is. It's working and serving him. Trusting in him. Now today we looked at patience. Something I think we all work on. Again, I actually encourage you Pray for patience. Why not? Give me one good reason why you shouldn't. You afraid God's going to grow you? Do we really want to follow him? There's my challenge for you. Should you pray for patience and draw closer to him? That is a fruit of the Spirit. It's one we're supposed to display. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for what you do. We thank you that we can gather together, that we can fellowship, that we can learn your word, Lord, you challenge us. You grow us, you shape us, you mold us, you bend us to the point to where we think we're going to break. Lord, you're there. You have our backs. You're beside us. You're around us. Why do we not trust you completely? We say we take things to the cross, but yet, Lord, we don't leave it all there. Lord, help us to leave it there. Help us to trust you. Help us to rely on you. When we don't pray for your guidance or ask you for things that we need, we're really saying that we can do it on our own. We can develop these on our own. No, we can't. We just kid ourselves. Lord, help us to understand it. Help us to understand your truth. This is not easy to do. Help us to grow more in you. Help us to be more loving. Help us to be more patient. Help us to find joy in you. Help us to find peace in you. Help us to be a light to those around us. Help us show the world who you are. Help us to be patient with each person that we come in contact with, each situation. Lord, whatever we do, we want to glorify you. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Numbers 6, verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. You are dismissed.